And now presenting
The Truth to Wellness Ministries,
the voice of overseas Christianity, with your hosts,
University Professors Dr. T and June.
Colors of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to Truth to Wellness Ministry. I am Dr. T, one of your hosts. Our program airs every Thursday night, 6 to 6:30, both at this station as well as 91.7 WAPB in Madison, Florida. You can also follow us on the web by going to truthtowellness.com. That again is truthtowellness.com. And if you go to the radio program, you can see both Season 2 and Season 3, which is where we are right now. And you can see the previous programs as well as the programs playing right now. This is now part two in our discussion of grace and law. And what I want to do is, if you have not heard part one, I'd like to direct you to our website. Again, truthtowellness.com, truthtowellness.com, all words, no spaces. And you can hear the part one in there. This is very important because this is now continuation. In part one, we finished with a thought about what is the base of the law. Now, as we know, law is very specific. It tells us what to do and what not to do. And if you do the things you're not supposed to do, you're guilty of those things. It doesn't necessarily look at the motive, but it looks at your actions. And yet we finished by talking about what Jesus said when he said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus went on to say that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. If you're looking where this is Matthew 22:37-40. Let's take a look at this again. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And yet neither one of these commandments is about what you need to do. It's about state of your heart. And Jesus said this is the root, essentially. This is what all the other commandments are trying to define better. What is it again? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second one is to love the neighbor as yourself. It's kind of interesting because the law focuses on something that we know as really the result of a loving heart. And yet we also know that law is enforced through fear. Whether we talk about biblical law or even we talk about the law in sense of the traffic law that we all deal with on an everyday basis. How it's enforced is through fear. If you drive too fast, you have the fear that the policeman will catch you, pull you over and give you a ticket. If there were no tickets, if there was no deterrent, I'm not sure that the police would have quite a bit of authority and ability to control and bring to order our environment. In fact, I know I've been in over 40 countries, and I know in some of the countries where that deterrent is not there, or where I should say the police don't have a motivation to give tickets, there are very strange things happening. To give you a good example, when I was in China, more than once I would see, especially in country roads where there are no traffic cameras, I would see people just drive straight through a red light. It was ridiculous because literally they're coming at it at 80 kilometers an hour and they don't even care. And they just go right through it. I also seen a lot of accidents. So when there is no fear, the law doesn't seem to work. This is also observed in Romans 8:15, where it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Receive what? "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Now, this is a deep scripture, and we will come back to it again because it really represents a whole departure from the Old Testament to the New One. But the thing is, it says you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now, you may say, well, you know, bondage. It talks about chains. No, it doesn't, because none of these people that this is written to are slaves or in bondage. They were free. When Jesus was around, he was talking to the various Pharisees and various individuals, and he would actually talk about being in bondage, but he wasn't talking about necessarily being free versus being enslaved. And bondage may be because they cross the law and do something. It may be in the sense of a spiritual bondage. But this is written to the Christians who have come out of the law. In fact, the bondage that it refers to here is actually the law, because of thou shall and thou shall not. That is essentially the limiting factor, what Bible often calls the bondage. In the same book, Paul talks about the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as she lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. And it refers to that also as the same as bondage, or she is bound to somebody because of the law. And so this is also, you will see a number of cases in the Bible where the law actually is referred to as the bondage, or going back to the bondage. But something that I like to bring in here is what Paul said. Again, coming back to Paul the Pharisee, trained in Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen, an outgoing person in the community, trained by the expert of the Jewish law, the top person. Also, he said of himself, as pertaining to the law, blameless. So he wasn't looking for some excuses or some way to you know, say, well, I failed, but this is why. He said he was blameless according to the law. In fact, because of that eager heart and one that is dedicated to the law, he actually used to persecute the church. That same Paul says, what shall we say then? Is law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. This is in Romans 7:12. For I would not have known covetousness unless law has said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found it to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just, and good. So you see what he's talking about is that we cannot be saved through the law. Paul goes on to say in verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is actually what Paul talked about. But again, remember, he actually did not have any problems while he was a Pharisee with the law. And we are left to believe, and I believe very strongly, that as he continued following Jesus, he even more was attentive and a good person, if you think of it that way. He did not want the church to be burdened with him, and so he worked as a tent maker, and he went around and risked his life for preaching the gospel. In every way, he was an example of what we need to be today. And yet, he said, of the law, at the end, in verse 24, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Dear ones, what he's really referring to and what he's trying to show is that there is the law of the flesh or of the body, but there is another one. And God wanted us to move from the law, from following how we do things here and there, which is what every other religion does. If you look at every religion, it's all about being good enough for something. But he wanted us to move beyond that. He wanted us to have a relationship. In Romans 8:15, we'll go back to it, it talks about by this spirit of adoption crying, Abba, Father. This is actually what happens. Why? Why are we being adopted? Because Jesus died and shed his blood for us. And by us walking through and in with through that blood, we become a part of the family. And this is why it talks about us being adopted. And I will talk a little bit about that later. This is why Jesus brought in a new covenant. It is a completely new covenant. Now, that doesn't mean that we go on sinning. It doesn't mean that any of the commandments that were in the old covenant are necessarily not applicable. God had a reason for those. If God didn't want us to sin and to steal then, he doesn't want us to steal now. But the issue is different. Then you would not want to steal because of what he said and the consequence. Now, because you're part of his family and because you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and because this is coming from inside the heart, you don't even think about stealing. That's the difference. So when people say, yeah, I walk in grace, I can do anything I want, and then you're missing the whole point. It's not that we now go and do those things. It is that now, because of the relationship, we don't want to. And anything that we still get caught in, it is more often the issue of a weakness, addiction, a habit. And you'll be surprised from the point of view of psychology how many habits we as people have. And very often in churches, what happens is these habits get masked over and covered up because we as humans cannot conquer them and we want to look holy, so we start covering it up. And that's exactly how Pharisees behaved at the time of Jesus. And this is exactly what I keep hearing from the students about today's churches. They're saying they're all hypocrites. I understand that you can't ever say something like that about the whole body of believers. But there is something that's causing them to say that. And remember, at the time of Jesus, the Pharisees and Sadducees, what Jesus referred to often as you being hypocrites to them, they behaved like that. And today, our students that I see every day, are telling me that the churches they see are behaving very much like that. And you know what? They do have a point. There is a lot of behavior. Why? That is hypocritical in our churches. I'm sorry if you are going to church and you're a pastor, please try to get from this the positive that you can. And the difference between the churches that have that hypocrisy and those who don't is the relationship with the living God. That's the only difference. One tries to be good enough. One tries to walk in the gospel with their own strength. Another one leans on God and says, God, help me. That's the difference. I like to play for you by Jonathan David, No Longer Slave. I love this song. And I'd like you to consider, as you think about what we said here, and we're going to go and talk more about New Covenant, consider again, where is your relationship with Christ? Where do you stand? I think that's very important to understand that is what it's all about. This is why, even in the Old Testament, God loved David. But Saul, who committed many fewer things than David, God did not love. Think about it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen. I think that Jonathan has it right on. We should celebrate because we are the children of God. I would like to just continue here. Thus far we have established that we are meant to be in grace, not in the law. We also established that being in the law is not necessarily talking about doing sacrifices and doing the biblical law, but any time we focus on gaining some sort of a reward, recognition, anytime we feel God will look at us nicer or better because we do something. Did you ever think about it? Did you ever look at a situation where you do something good and you think, oh man, God must have noticed? Okay, that is the law. That is still the law because we have to understand, we have to come to understanding that the way Scripture speaks, the way the Scripture explains it, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that we have to offer to God that He would take attention. It's just like when you walk in the street and you see the ants going down on the pavement and the grass, there is nothing that that ant can do that can help you. There is nothing. And so I think we have to understand that. And that's the danger of staying in the law. And when I say staying in the law, it is essentially the situation where we count on our own ability to be good or our own ability to follow God's commandments even. And that is also where we go back next now and talk about, okay, so if I am using this approach, if I am trying to do good things, is there any harm to it? In Romans 3:19 and 20, it says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. So as you can see, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified. We cannot be justified by what we do. We cannot be good enough to be justified. That's essentially what he's saying. In Galatians, Paul speaks to a church in the city of Galatia, and that church has started accepting some of the traditions of the Jewish law. And so Paul says in Galatians 1, 6 through 8, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. So Paul here calls that another gospel. Now notice, these are very small things. They were saying, well, you know, we should maybe do this and do that so that that way we are right before God. We should maybe get into this tradition and watch what meats we eat. We should eat this kind of meat and follow this kind of word to be more appropriate, more acceptable to God. And he called that another gospel. And he said, if even an angel comes and preaches that gospel to you, let him be accursed. Those are heavy words, guys. Those are very, very heavy words. This is not, well, you shouldn't do it, but it's okay if you do it. This is not it. He's saying here, this is a different gospel. And then in Acts 15:24, we see how this came about, where he says, since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we have gave no such commandment. This is again Acts 15:24. I'm going to stop at this point, but I want to show you that it is so easy, so very easy for us as Christians to forget what Jesus did for us. Oh yes, we'll never say we forget it, but essentially we are trying on our own to please him. We're trying to live right to please him, and that is not the basis of a relationship. I will talk more about it in part 3, which will be next week, but that is not the basis of this relationship. As we go, I'd like to remind you that Christianity is all about walking in step with God, not about earning something, because if we try to earn our way, if we try to be good enough, then we really put aside the sacrifice of Christ. God bless you all. Take care.
As long as I shall.
The preceding was a presentation by Truth to Wellness Ministries Incorporated, a not-for-profit corporation.
All the events portrayed are true. Some information may have been disguised for security reasons. For more information, please contact us via email at truthtowellness@gmail.com.